Afternoon or good morning, everyone. I've got 11:30, so I think we can get started. Let me just check participants. Okay, why don't we get started? As I say, good morning. Thank you all for being available for the CHESLA meeting. First item of business, because it is a virtual meeting, I need to read a disclaimer. So in accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment. What was that?
Got an echo.
Well, we can try it again. In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. Next, we need to do a roll call of attendees. My name's Peter Lisi, obviously I'm present. Marty Budd?
Present.
Thank you. Bettina Bronitz?
Present.
Thank you. Andrew Foster?
Present.
Thank you. Michael Azzotti? No. Carrie Kelly? No. Julie Savino? No. Kelly Marie Valliers?
Laura Baker for Kelly, present.
Thank you, Laura. Jeanette Weldon?
Yes, present.
Thank you. Did I miss any board members? Okay, thank you. I'm sorry?
I think it was the echo.
Oh, okay. Individuals are asked to state their name and title, if applicable, before speaking during the meeting. Votes will be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or email advising whether, number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or two, the time of the meeting, the time that the meeting will resume. So with that, as our preamble, the meeting is called to order. First item of business is review and hopefully approval of the minutes from our November 15th meeting. Would someone like to move acceptance of the minutes from November 15th?
I'm happy to do that. I made a suggestion for an amendment.
Okay.
To our executive director.
Well, let's get the motion out there, then we can discuss. Marty has moved it. I'm happy to second it. Now we'll open up the discussion. Marty, do you want to inform everyone what the edit was that you suggested?
Somebody put up, I don't know whether.
Yes, this is what I inserted. We made your edit, as you mentioned to me yesterday, Marty. And so what's displayed on the screen is correcting that language under inducement resolution to make that sentence clearer.
So you can see it redlined, CHESLA to reimburse itself from bond proceeds for any loans that are originated 60 days prior. So it's with that change, it's on the screen in red.
Yeah, I see it. Does anyone have a question on that, that change, that edit? Are there any other changes, edits, comments with regard to the minutes from November 15th? Okay, hearing none, the motion has been made and seconded to accept the minutes with the edit, the clarification that was just described and is on our screen and highlighted in red. So with that amendment or with that change, all those in favor of accepting the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions?
Yes, this is Bettina Brown Eyes. I'm abstaining as I was not present.
Yep. Thank you, Bettina. One abstention. Thank you very much. Motion carries. Minutes are adopted.
Mr. Chairman, there is on page 11 of the packet and page 8 of the minutes, a note that staff will show us the calculations for the refi program in the March meeting. I just wanted to make sure that we put that on our agenda for the March meeting.
Yep, duly noted. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, minutes are accepted. Next item of business is the scholarship program memo. Yesenia and Josh, I believe you're going to walk us through that.
Yes, thanks, Peter. And I'll kick us off on page 14 of the board package. So I first wanted to review the most recent year of the scholarship program, year four. The fourth year of the Chesil-administered scholarship program was a great success. For the undergraduate scholarships, Chesil was able to award 171 students out of the 183 qualified applications, and we dispersed a total of $486,000. The certificate scholarship program has also been very successful. We have dispersed 24 certificate scholarships, totaling $30,000. And that was the total allocation we had awarded for the certificate scholarships. So that scholarship application has closed as of January 16th. And as a point of comparison, last year, the $30,000 of certificate scholarships was not fully dispersed until May. Most of those certificate scholarships have been for students pursuing healthcare, such as phlebotomy. We were also able to host an in-person event this year to recognize our recipients. I believe it was our first event since COVID. We held that in-person event on August 4th in the Yard Goats Club at Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford. And the keynote speaker for the event was Thea Montanez, who is the chief operating officer of the city of Hartford. For the upcoming year, Chesil plans to continue using Foundit for its applications, and the certificate scholarship will remain open on a first-come, first-served basis until funds run out. So similar format. So with that, I'll turn it to Yesenia to talk about the application period.
Okay, hi everyone. So the same as previous years, we plan to open the applications for the degree granting programs on March 1st of this, coming up in a few weeks. The application window will close on May 1st, and we will notify the recipients in July of the ones that have been awarded. In terms of the certificate program, scholarship program, we will open that application on July 1st of 2023 for enrollment in programs starting on or after July 1st of 2023, and that application will remain open until June of 2024 or until funds run out. So we have all started marketed the scholarship throughout the year for certificate programs through emailing financial aid directors, certificate program directors. We've done state workforce boards, social media, and quarterly Chesil newsletters. Monthly scholarship reminders to community colleges have also made a significant impact, and these efforts will continue. Of the $500,000 that has been determined as feasible of scholarship awards annually, we propose that $465,000 earmarked for the degree granting programs and $35,000 for certificate programs. We believe this modest increase for the certificate program is prudent, as the certificate scholarship dollars went out the door very quickly this fiscal year, and any unused certificate program funds will continue to be available in the scholarship account. This individual awards will remain the same this year as well. for degree granting programs, they would stay at $1,500 for a half-time student and $3,000 for full-time student. And the authority plans to keep the scholarship award for certificate programs at $1,000 and $250 at a $35,000 allocation that would result in 28 recipients compared to 24 recipients in the past. So we look forward to continued success of our scholarship program. Are there any questions regarding what we've spoke about?
I'd like to congratulate you on getting the certificate program scholarship really going. In my view, that's one of the most important programs we have. And I hope next year you'll be asking even for more than $35,000.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Marty.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Marty. I agree with you. I think it's a great program. It's nice to see the money going out in that way. So, any additional questions for Josh or Yesenia?
I'm just curious. I know at one point we had struggled a little bit in terms of getting the certificate program rolling out. And so is it, do you think it's because of the partnership with the Director of Financial Aids and advertising and so on that's just bringing more awareness, or are you finding students, depending on programs, are becoming more eligible?
I would say I think it's a combination. We're continuing the marketing, but I think the certificate program utilization really took off when we removed the EFC component to qualify for the program. Once we removed that, we started to get those dollars out the door.
Very good, thanks.
Any other questions? Jeanette, this is an action item, correct? We need to adopt or accept the recommendation for the allocation, correct?
Yes.
So moved.
Well, thank you, Marty. Is there a second on
that? Second, Andrew.
And we have a second. Thank you. Any additional discussion, questions? The motion has been made and seconded to adopt staff's recommendation on the allocation for the scholarship program. Any further discussion or questions? Comments? Anyone need anything clarified? No, hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the scholarship program allocation as outlined in the meeting material, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. And Josh and Yesenia, just to echo Marty's comments, really well done. It's a great program. It's nice to see the money getting out there. Well done.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Next item of business, the loan yield liability. Jeanette, will you be kicking off this conversation, or Tim Webb?
I'll kick it off.
Okay.
And so as we mentioned at previous meetings, there is a loan yield liability associated with the Series 2013A bonds, which will be fully paid off as of May 15th, 2023. And tax law limits the loan yield to be no more than 2 points higher than the bond yield. And to the extent it exceeds that, it creates a liability that has to be reconciled by the final payment date. And so at this point, it can be reconciled either by loan forgiveness or by cutting a check to the IRS. And we have opted for the loan forgiveness scenario. And so I think I've mentioned this before, we've had kind of an internal working group consisting of BLX as our loan yield and our rebate consultant, Pullman and Comley as our bond counsel, both Sandy and Judith, Tim Webb as financial advisor, and then me and Josh. And so, my thought was that maybe Sandy could just comment on the amount of the loan yield and you know calculations that she's done thus far, and then Josh can comment on the approach that we're taking with regard to the forgiveness.
Jeanette, I just want to mention that you're referring to Sandy Stallings.
Oh, did I say Sandy Dawson? Yeah, I meant Sandy Stallings.
No, you just said Sandy. Yeah, you just said
Sandy. Okay, Sandy Stallings, yes.
I wanted people to know that it would be Sandy Stallings talking.
Right, yes.
Right, so this is Sandy Stallings, Chief Operating Officer and Managing Director of BLX Group. We've been providing loan yield analysis for Chesla, kind of helping them through this process. And we ran the updated number through November 1st of 2022. And the existing loan yield excess is about $240,000. So that number is a moving target because the loans continue to perform up until May 15th of 2023 when the bonds are ultimately redeemed. So it's kind of a moving target, but we've been trying to quantify this and put some estimates together on how to manage this liability for Chesla.
Two questions. One, how much is the principal amount of loans outstanding?
Marty, I can handle that. So in the 2013 portfolio, there's about $5.4 million in principal balance outstanding.
So this is really about 5% of the loans that we're going to forgive. And in order to make sure we don't violate the law, are we allowed to forgive a little bit more, like 253 or something like that? Or is the plan to, go with the calculation in a month or two, and then if we've missed it, send a check for $72 to the IRS?
Well, the idea is to forgive some now, and then let's update the numbers, take a look at the additional loan movement between loans possibly going into default, loan prepayments, and see what's happening with the loan mix based upon that forgiveness, and then see where we are. We may have to do another piece, again, closer to May 15th, but we really don't want to over-forgive, and we really don't have the option of cutting a check to the IRS. We do have that option, but administratively, I think it's better, or the policy would be to put that money back into the loan holders as opposed to, or the borrowers as opposed to the IRS.
Right. No, when I was talking about the giving a check to the IRS, you may find on May 16 that we haven't forgiven enough loans.
Right, exactly.
And rather than go to jail or have all our bonds taxable, I was suggesting you could make it up. I wanted to assure you could, by giving a small check of what we missed to the IRS.
Exactly, right.
Now, how much in advance must you give the bondholders notice so that they don't send in their principal amount on May 15th?
Marty, are you referring to loan holders or?
Yes.
Okay.
Dear loan holder, we are reducing your principal amount by 5%. Now you only owe X. By the way, loan holder, you should go with your tax attorney because this is going to be a taxable event for you. How long in advance of May 15th do you have to give that notice?
So, Josh, do you just want to walk through the process that you have planned for the forgiveness with the service?
Yeah. So basically, whenever we're ready to move forward with it, I can pull a loan accounts report from UAS, do the calculation, the percentage per loan, and then I can provide the principal reduction to UAS. I can probably do it that same day. We've provided a drafted letter to UAS, so they already have that. That letter was vetted by both Denise and Pullman and the entire working group. And my understanding from UAS is that it would take them roughly 1 week to implement all the principal reductions in the portfolio.
So let's just say that we approve it today. You would send out sometime in February or early March letters to the loan holders. And then again, after Sandra and her colleague do another calculation, I guess you have a target date of something like April something.
Right. Unfortunately, this will be in two installments.
Right. Well, so I guess the letter should say, the first letter should say, and there may be further adjustments, you know, stay tuned.
Yes.
Would it help if I provide the current language of the letter to the board, or?
Marty, you're on mute.
Thank you. I don't think personally that's necessary.
Okay.
As long as you have our comments here, including a sentence which says there may be more to come in April.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Josh, do you just want to touch on, you know, it's pro rata, yeah, you know, that we looked at different options, but that's where we landed?
Yeah, so with the working group, we explored a few different options for the principal reduction. We looked at low balances based on where the liability is. The low balances, you'd have to go up to balances of $3,400, which we really did not consider to actually be a low balance. We looked at delinquencies that did not really get us to the liability. We also looked at those in the military that did also not meet the liability level. And then we also discussed kind of targeted options, such as I believe teachers or firefighters, et cetera. The only challenge there is Chesil does not know where any of the borrowers are working. We just know that they're making their payments. So at the 5.4 million, there's 631 loans outstanding. My understanding is that the most up-to-date liability is about 265,000. As Marty mentioned, that would equate to about a 5% or 4.9% forgiveness per loan. The average principal reduction would be about $420. But the principal reductions would range, as of the most recent data, would range anywhere from $11 to $1,900.
I'll move the resolution that was in the package on page 16 and wish the working group good luck in doing the right thing.
Thank you, Marty. Motion's been made to adopt the recommendation in the board packet for the loan yield liability. Is there a second on that motion? I'm happy to second it. So it's been moved and seconded. Are there further questions for Josh or Sandy Stallings or Jeanette, anyone associated with this issue? Any questions or comments? Further discussion? All right. Hearing none, the motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously to adopt the recommendation in the board packet for the loan yield liability. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, this is Tim Webb for the
yes,
record.
Tim.
He'll talk. I go back after hearing this discussion, I go back to an old saying that no good deed goes unpunished. And since we have some borrowers that are above a certain threshold that may require or may create a tax liability, there could be some negative consequences, even though these people would receive up to a $1,900 forgiveness. So I don't know that that's going to occur, but no good deed goes unpunished, and you may get some blowback because people experience a tax event as a result of the forgiveness.
Especially from somebody who is only getting $11 and has to add to their tax form, $1.50 or $2, which administratively might be annoying.
Yeah, I think there's been some work done on that, Marty. And I know in dealing with some other institutions that have had to go through this process, people are viewing if the forgiveness is below $600, then there's no liability to the borrower. But if it was over $600, then it may be an event that has to be filed on your taxes. But your point is well taken.
Well, so is yours, Tim. I appreciate you highlighting that for us. So as you say, no good deed goes unpunished. All right. Next item, a composition of the consultant vendor committee. Due to some resignations on the CHESLA board, we have new members and it required a new composition for the consultant vendor committee. I've spoken to two of our board members, Carrie Kelly and Bettina, and both have agreed to serve on the consultant vendor committee. And on an interim basis, I'm happy to serve as chair of that committee. I think as everyone knows, it meets basically on an as-needed basis, not all that frequently, but because these are committee appointments, it is an action item for the board. So if someone would like to make the motion, the action is for myself to serve as the chair of the consultant vendor committee and the two new members being Carrie Kelly and Bettina Bronitz. Would someone like to move that?
Andrew, so moved.
Thank you, Andrew. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Marty. Is there any discussion or questions on this? Questions, discussion, comments, questions on what the consultant vendor committee does, their mission, anything? All right, well, hearing none, the motion's been made and seconded for new members and new chair. For the consultant vendor committee. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward for the group today? Any new business or other business for the good of the cause? Anything? Well, hearing none, I'd be happy to accept a motion to adjourn. Someone like to make that motion? I'll move. I will move okay. Adjournment. Is there a second?
Second.
Bettina, I second.
Thank you, Bettina. All those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? We are adjourned. Thank you all very much for your time today.